So the topic I'm just going to touch on is a topic with many Rishonim deal with, is that the Psukim give this beautiful description of if Kaiser keeps the mitzvahs, of how the world is going to be, you know, so beautiful, etc. The rains will come at the right time, and we turn this out. The flowering of the fruits and the animals will be everything we want. But it doesn't talk about Olam Haba. And why is it that the Schar Hanitzki, the eternal Schar which we have in Olam Haba, is not mentioned in the Torah? This is the problem that many of the Rishonim deal with. So instead of going through all the Rishonim over here, this piece is a quote from the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar basically takes the seven sheets of Rishonim, how they address it, and he brings an abridged version, the main points of the seven sheets of Rishonim. So we're going to go through that and see what we come up with. Really, there's eight. I think Rashi, and he points out, really, Rashi has an answer as well. Well, it's not really at 7.5, I guess, because one of the Rishonim said something similar. I want to talk about a different point first, before we get to that. How do we relate to Schar? Like the Torah is saying, okay, if you because I tell you, and there's going to be Shama Beitam, and there's going to be the sources Yivu Lav, it's a Tain Per Yoy, right? And the Hisham Dais is Botzer, but it's like a Zorah. We have all these wonderful brachas. So what is the purpose of that message? Like, why is Rashi telling me this? Right? To say that I should do it for that purpose, we have a Mishnah Novus, you know, very Perak Aleph, right? Al Tiyi Kavod Meshav Shem as a Rav Manasseh Kavod Baraz. Don't be an abbot who serves the master to get reward. So I can't do it for this purpose, right? So if I can't do it for this purpose, so like, why is it so important that I know it? Obviously, the Torah is telling me it's important that I know it. Like, what is the message I'm supposed to get out? So listen, don't you dare think about what you're doing, because that's the wrong thing to do. By what you know that it exists, like, what's the message? The truth is, if you take it a step further, it's even more challenging. You look at Mesil Sharm. Mesil Sharm is divided up. It's basically a sulam aliyah. It's this ladder of going one madrega to the next, and it's based on a brisa in Masechta Avodah Zarah that Torah brings to Zahiris, Zahiris brings to Zrizis, Zrizis brings to Nakiyas, etc. So Mesil Sharm, the whole sefer, is that process. The first parak does not fit that. The first parak is called Chavis Bir Chavis Adam Olam. I'm going to clarify what is a person's chayv, what is his responsibility in this world. Which, the way I understand it, you know, the Bryce says Torah brings the Zahiris. So the Sharma is saying the point of Torah bringing the Zahiris means if the Torah will give across to us this clear message of what it's all about, i.e., Perek Aleph, then you'll be able to go to the Zahiris and then from there to the Zahiris, etc. So he's translating the word in the Brisa, if the Meyora says Torah brings the Zahiris, he's translating the word means Chavis on the Baalama. That's the message of Torah that it's referring to. Okay. So he says, and he starts off with these tremendous languages of, you know, that the Yisrael Chassidus, Yisrael Shavara Tamimo, the whole foundation and the whole root of everything is Shisbar, Yisam, Yisrael Machal, Vasa Baalama. He has to be very clear and believe with an emes. What is the person's chiyuv in this world? And what should he have as his look and his focus and his purpose, everything that he does his whole lifetime? So clearly we're talking about very strong ideas of chiyuvim, right? Responsibilities. Okay? Then he says, okay, So I'm telling you what you must do, what you must think about, what you must focus on, what it's all about your whole lifetime. Okay? What does Chacham tell us? That a person never really sounded like Hashem. Human being is created to have pleasure from Hashem. Well, one second. I started out with the chavos of elam by mabotu and magamos of a culture amol kamechaya, but your focus and your goal, etc. He says, you know, man was created to have pleasure for Hashem, to get benefit from zivus chinosai, and you cannot get that in this world. You won't get in the world to come, but this world is a place where you can do the mitzvahs. Rely, you get it. So it's like it's a major shift. Right? What's going on? Okay, so the way I understand it, you know, I can't tell you it's right. The way I understand it, they imagine a person has a very, very, very wonderful relationship with his father. And it's a, the mashal is not perfect, but, you know, it's, for our purposes, it'll at least, I think, it'll crystallize what we're trying to say. Very wonderful, close relationship with his father. He loves his father tremendously. His father loves him tremendously. And obviously, a father takes care of his child. And that's the father's biggest pleasure in life, is taking care of his child. Now, as the child grows older and the father grows older, the roles shift a little bit. And the father's no longer able to give to the child what he wants to give to the child, and the child doesn't really need the father to give to him. But the child, understanding the father's pleasure in giving to him, creates a relationship where he is still in the receiving end of his father's giving, so his father can have the pleasure of giving to him. So the child is not doing what he's doing. So, you know, the father has, let's say, whatever. If he, and my son, every week that you learn, you come home from business, and when the fellow first started, he didn't have too much money, and his father was doing very well off. And the father said, you know what? I want to make sure my son learns. Every week I'm going to pay you $100 just to make sure that you learn an hour every single night. Now, this fellow is doing well off. He doesn't need the money. His father doesn't really have so much of the money, but the father has that. No, he's paying his son to sit and learn. So the son comes every week, he gives him his scorecard. You know, I've learned this week every night, an hour, the father gives him $100. Right? The father is tremendously annoyed. He's helping his son, taking care of his son. Why is his son doing it? Because he wants $100? No. He's doing it because he wants to give his father pleasure. The Rosh Hashanah created the world for one purpose only. He wanted to give human beings pleasure. He wanted to give us pleasure. That's why he created the world. And he cannot do it, but he also tied his hands. He said, listen, I want you to feel good about the pleasure. I want you to feel that you deserve it. So I'm not going to give it to you for free. I'm going to give it to you only if you work. Okay? So now I can have in mind I'm doing it because I want to get the benefit. Or I can have in mind I'm doing it because I want to give my father the pleasure of allowing him to give me the benefit. That's what the Mr. Sherman said. I have to understand. I want you to understand now. But it's so important that I understand that, because the child, what is the child thinking about when he's doing this? He's thinking about giving his father pleasure. Step number one. Step number two. He's realizing how much his father. Why is the father so much pleasure from it? Because the father loves him so much. So this is the father's vehicle, how to express love to his child. So the child understands, the child is getting something. The child is understanding the depth of his father's love for him, which he wouldn't necessarily understand if he wouldn't be doing this, because he wouldn't see his father giving to him. So he wouldn't understand how much his father loves him. He needs to understand the depth of his father's love to him, that the father is pining to give. So the Barsham says over here, listen, here's a kind over here. I want you to understand how much I want to give to you, but I'm tying it to mitzvahs. But if you do the mitzvahs, I'm just going to pour it on top of you. Right? So the Rosh Hashanah is telling us how much he loves us by how much he wants to give. It happens to be that, you know, it's tied to mitzvahs, and therefore when we do the mitzvahs, we're going to get it. That's a tenai amount of give. But that's not the point. The point is the Rosh Hashanah's desire to give. So now, then the question becomes very strong. So the Rosh Hashanah is, you know, the father is giving, right, $100 a week for this learning, right? Right? Imagine the father also happens to give him, you know, he says, you know, I'll also give you 25 cents. So my fellow says, he gives me 25 cents. That's the love. He gives you $100 a week. He gives you 25 cents. That's the love. He gave me a quarter. Yeah. Right? The merchant is giving me schar nitzki, eternal reward, which is going to last forever. And Chazal, the mission of it says that one moment of Olam Haba is all of this world doesn't compare to it. And the merchant says, listen, I'm telling you how much I love you, because you know what? I make sure you have food to eat, a really good shmack of food. And I don't mention Olam Haba. I give this to Takapella. If the whole purpose is to convey to us the merchant's desire to give to us, and he has this tremendous desire to give to us. And that's the purpose, that's the message. When we talk about the Russian giving schar, that's really the message. And he says, by the way, you know, I'm giving you 29 cents. That's the schar? That's what he wants to tell me. He's telling me, I'm giving you millions of dollars. Don't tell me you give me 25 cents. He says, I'm giving you Olam Haba. No, don't mention that. But I'm also giving you you know, some good figs. That's, I think, the Rishonim's kash. The hair of the kash of the Rishonim has. Okay. He's lot of zochim. Here's Rashi telling Mecham Gan Eden. So in the list of things which the psukim say that the person is going to do for Klai, so the person says, I'm going to walk amongst you. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Tali Mecham Gan Eden. I'm going to take a walk with you in Gan Eden. I have no idea what that means. Exactly what that means. How you're Matayal versus Matayal with Klai, so in Gan Eden. I don't know what the words mean, but whatever it means, it's good. It's totally off topic, but there's a lashon is a lashon of Chazal. Chazal used the same lashon. I just want to tell you this work. It's a Gemalik board. So you rub him in the vod. I mean, he pashad. He's chayt dramatic by Yisro. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had the kiddush Hashem tzavokers to give Shlomo Melech muster for oversleeping. Which nobody else had the year of Shemayim enough to be able to do it, and for that he was rewarded to become the Melech. But he got fachat with the feeling that he goes up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah LeRegel, so Malchus Beis David sits on the Zohar, and he'll have to stand, so he'll be perceived as being lower than the Malchus Beis David. That element he's scared of that. So he made it as a Buddhazoras and the whole thing. The Gemara says in Hedron, and the Bershom offered him a chance to do tshuva. The Bershom grabbed him and said, Chazor Boch, do tshuva. Vani vato ben Yishai yital b'Gan Eden. Then you and I, ben Yishai, David HaMelech, will walk together in Gan Eden. So the Gemara says that Yerubim said, me Barosh, who's going to go first? He said, ben Yishai Barosh. He says, Imkein lo ben, I don't want it. Okay. So Rosh Hashanah says, listen to the words. The Rosh Hashanah said to Yerovim, he said, Chazor b'cho, v'ani, v'ato, u'ben Yishai. Who did he say first? He said Yerovim first. Right? He said Yerovim first. So what is he asking? He wanted to hear it again. He wanted to hear it again. Rosh Hashanah said, no, you ask for it? Then you go second. Okay, I'm out. So that's what Rosh Hashanah said on that Gemara. It's a Gemara board. Anyway, okay. It's not on the case we're saying, but this is
human nature.
Right.
Okay. It's human nature all the way, right? You know, we relate to it all the way. He says, you know. Okay. So Rashi is a time of Gan Eden. Daito san meal teresin hakadosh kol toyer ma'arav barmer yesh li mokem lulun belarmer me'achos shelo nizker b'tara ikir har schar l'nesham. People would ask Chas v'Shalom that if there's no mention of Schar Olam Haba in the Torah, it's a dicker of the fact that mitzvahs don't give you Olam Haba. Which means that all the Schar is going to be here in this world. That's what people can say. Now there's a Gemara. The more it says Schar Mitzvah Haba, the more it says Betzim, it's impossible to pay a mitzvah in this world. Right? And here we're worried about people interpreting the mamash exact opposite. The pasha that it's only here, not even not olam haba, but chlal. The Farashi says that no. Here I'm saying one of the elements of schar is Gan Eden, which is olam haba. Which you know now the relationship between Gan Eden, olam haba, etc. That's complicated. And all the Rishonim, each one have their own approach to it. The simple understanding that usually the phrase Gan Eden actually is not referring to Olam. Olam Haba is the Zman after Mashiach comes and the Zman of Schar in this world. The real Tachlis of Schar is in this world, not in Olam, not in the Olam HaNeshamas. Because that's what Rosh Hashanah has, the Zman of Tchias HaMesim, where the Neshama and the Guf will come together. The Neshama and the Guf did the Avodah together, they have to get the Schar together. So the Neshama, the Guf will come back with the Neshama and they'll get the Schar together. And that will take place after Mashiach. The Zman after Mashiach will be so. The way the Rambam learns, the Zman after Mashiach is called Olam Haba, and then there's Tchias HaMesim, and the period of time while the Neshamas are waiting, to that period of time, that's called Gan Eden. So that's not the final reward, but it is a Ruchnistic reward. Meanwhile, while they're waiting, they're getting some type of reward, but it's not the final reward. The final reward will be after the final din, and then they'll go to the final reward, and that's the Yom HaDin Lasid Lavay. that's like the, probably the simplest understanding. Not everybody agrees with that, but that's the simplest understanding. But Rashi says, Rashi is a tamachem a Gan Eden. I'm not sure Rashi means Gan Eden meaning the mokum of the final scar, meaning the mokum of the scar right now. I'm not sure what Rashi means. But Al-Kaponim, it's clearly a scar nafshi in a world beyond this world that's referring to. So the pasuk is mentioning such a thing. Now the truth is, many of the Mishnayim already asked the question. Each one has their approach. Karzachim, that's the acronym is referring to Rav Yitzchak Abravanel, the Moreno Rav Yitzchak Abravanel. V'chiburoi beherch behem. Yivos lekatzim v'kol yichelus asadim poy kedei lahasim pi dovrei osak al teruah hakadosh. I want to say them very clearly. In a very rich form, it's very clear that people can read it easily and see that there's so many different answers to this question. So I'm not going to read all the answers inside. But so the Rambam says a fascinating thing. The Rambam says this is not scar. Scar, the more says that ayin l'ro silkim zulasech. There's no way our human mind to be able to comprehend and convey elam haba. So it's not mentioned in the Torah. So what is this whole thing about over here? This is something else totally. That when a person, the Bereshit gives siyata d'shmaya, when a person wants to do mitzvahs, the Bereshit gives siyata d'shmaya to help you do mitzvahs. Well, it's very hard to do mitzvahs, and, you know, because you're busy the whole day making money. So the Bereshit says, no problem. There'll be so much available. There'll be so much bracha on the land that you'll be totally available to be able to do, spend time learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. So if the result of the person having a tremendous desire to do Torah mitzvahs, right, the Bereshit is going to make sure that you have all of the kelim that you need to be able to do your mitzvahs. That's all the pasuk is talking about. It's not talking about Muhammad B'chla. So it comes out that why didn't it mention Olam Haba in the Torah? The answer is Olam Haba is something which is beyond the human mind to comprehend. There is no reason to mention it. You can't mention it in the Torah, right? I mean, try to mention it, try to describe it. It ends up, if anything, cheapening it or a true misunderstanding. You end up eventually with, you know, these different nations have their crazy. They have their. You know, childish, stupid, foolish pictures of Olam Haba. Right. So that's not there. The point over here is that the person who is promising you to be able to obey the Kodesh Baruch Hu without any limitations, anything bothering you. So that's the concept which Odessa talks about all the time. There's a concept called Kalim. Every person is given his Kalim for avodah. He's given that which he needs to be able to obey the Kodesh Baruch Hu properly. In this world, the way it is right now, a lot of our kalim are the challenges. And that's how we're open. There'll come a time where that's not how the writer works. The writer works by such a commitment that we have. The Russian says, take all impediments, and you'll just be able to just focus on the growth process without any difficulty. That's what the Rambam understands. Yeah.
You've got Nista, in the Torah, which has a little. Maybe it's nothing revealed or obvious or
important. You want to know, is there a Torah? This is what we talked about. But there is. But, like you said, in general, Nistar is written in the Lashon of Moshul. So even after it's written there, you don't know what it means. Because it's a Moshul. Right? That they say that there were individuals, there's a few words to talk about Olam Haba, so I don't remember who says it. So yes, Akasha, the Pasuk says, and Navi says, I am the, right, it's Shesafat al Riachel, it's hidden away, I am the Rosh Elohim Zulasecha. So how can the Chum give some, you know, elements of description, etc.? So the answer is Chacham Adav Binovi. That through the process of Nevuah, it's impossible to present it. But through the process of Chochmah, it's possible to gain some understanding of it. And that's, you know, that's the approach to that. Okay. The Eben Ezra is, the next one is Eben Ezra. The Rambam says that the Rambam adds one connection, but that it's that Olam Haba is not mentioned because imagine we'd be able to describe Olam Haba in its all of its glory. It would definitely take away, make it very difficult to be able to go to Baruch
Lishma. Right, we'd aspire to.
I mean, you know, if we were, assuming that part of our challenges we have is we don't see the Olam Haba, so we believe in Olam Haba, and we believe. There's different levels of belief, it's. If I would give you a description of it with full clarity, and of course, and you would believe what I'm saying, it's definitely going to limit your intent of lishma and your avodah. It's hard to ignore it. That's the Rambam. Deya Shnia is the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra says, "Afish daiti shatar nitl chol v'lo lechel v'adoy v'divrei elam hapo lo yibino af echemini elof tiamukul." If you write it, you'd end up with something which is the Torah wasn't written for the Vilna Goins. It's written for everybody. So the Torah is going to write it. It's going to end up being confusing and misunderstood. We're not going to go there. But that the fisher kashal the tzayir is so ischar ki agashal yasik inyan haruchni. I can't helima Torah dabra omuk zamina mina moyin miroiv kaitzer daita. So that's there are yechidim which can understand it. But the overall, the Torah should write it, which means it's available all of Klai, so it'll just be confusing. The version left it out. Okay? I don't like saying about Ibn Ezra, it's definitely an Ibn Ezra style Teretz. Right? The Ramban. The Ramban is beautiful. The Ramban is absolutely beautiful. Adai Ashlish is Hudas Rabbein Bechai Hazokain, which that is the Baal Chavis Lavobis. So the Ibn Ezra brings this idea also and seems to be inclined as a possible answer, and the Rabban brings it as well. But who? The point of the promises of the Torah is the person promises I'm going to deal with the world in a way which is supernatural, which is an ace. The Pesukim say, listen, if you do mitzvahs, you get rain, if you don't, you don't. Wow. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's not natural. It's clearly divine intervention. That's the Pesukim. Om the ma shatala anevash mokam chaytzva. Going back to where you came from and getting the reward over there, that's not a palate. That's normal. That's natural. It might be metaphysical because it's not supernatural. It's not extraordinary. It's the most logical thing in the world that the neshama will go back to where it came from. It belongs to the neshama was put in this body, and now when the body is no longer available for it, it goes back to a world that fits it. And that somebody should get schar for their efforts. Also logical. The scar should be ruchni. Also logical, because that's where the neshama is. Like, what part of it is not logical? So the physical descriptions over here is because those are extraordinary and those are beyond natural. The neshama getting scar in Olam Haba is totally natural. Isn't it a gorgeous thought process? This world is like, that's a natural world. That's like the unnatural world. He's wrong. I think I told you the story once. There's a Maaseh of the Chofetz Chaim after his son-in-law, Reb Hirsch Levinson, was nifter. Chofetz Chaim had a son-in-law, Reb Hirsch Levinson, who was tremendous talmid chacham, tremendous tzaddik. He was the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim loved him, Abbas Nefesh. And when he was nifter, it was obviously painful for the Chofetz Chaim, but at the end of the year, they were sitting, he had been a magid shir in the yeshiva in Raden. So at the end of the year, they were having a meeting of the members of the yeshiva, and all of the yeshiva, to just think through what are we going to do for the coming year, rebbeim-wise, etc. So having the meeting, so the Chofetz Chaim presents what his thoughts are. So he says, so and so will say the first year, so and so the second year. He says, Reb Hirsch is himself to the Rekia. So so-and-so will say the third year. That's how he said it. So one of the people there said, you know, he said it basically like almost like the same lesson. The first son to go learn tells. He's not a Melon anymore, this year, so he's in tells. Right? So anyway, well, you know, we have this one else this year. But by him, a Sitzan Rikia was so real, it's like going to learn tells. You know, he went down the block. See, he went to Sitzan Rikia. He's learning with Sitzan Rikia, so he's not available. You know, like, you know. Elam Haba was real. The Ramban, you know, but Elam Haba is the most logical thing. It's the most real thing in the world. Like, what are you talking about? That trees should grow? That's kind of strange. You know, but Elam Haba, it's the most logical thing in the world. He points out that we do find the concept of the chorus, obviously, with the means that we know that there's a chorus is referring to after the person dies. So it's clear in the Torah, the concept that the neshama continues, that there's going to be an opportunity for it to get something special, an opportunity that it's going to be cut off from something. So in the concept of the chorus, you really have such an idea. But the point of the Rambam, before you get to that, is this, that we have... I'll tell you another mice of the Chavos Chaim. It was Purim. Abacha was drunk. And he went to Chavos Chaim and he asked the Chavos Chaim should promise him a chelek in Olam Haba. He was drunk. Right? I have to tell you, just Agav, you know, the minig in the yeshiva is that, you know, people get drunk on Purim. Some people look at askance. It's not the, you know, I can't say there aren't concerns about it. In general, I think it's discouraged that the younger Bachim should get drunk. Mm. Right? You know, the body's not physically ready for it. The older Bachim, right? They obviously do it with moderation. Mm. But what I've seen over the years, I'll tell you another mice. there's a very chashuv Tamil Chacham. He's a rabbi of a shul. He's chaver svarim. He's very mavli kiruv. He passes a lot of shaila, etc. He's about tshuva himself. So his story goes like this. So I heard the story from the Shiva and his rebbetzin together. So one time they're sitting, my wife and I were sitting there with the Shiva and the rebbetzin, visiting them. Maybe it was on Purim. I don't remember when it was. I think maybe just some time of visit. And the conversation came to the story. It was on Purim, I think. So it came to the story. So the Rebbe starts the story. She says that there's this one day, you know, someone like during Elul sometime, a young lady shows up and says, "There's Nashim," and tells the Shiva, not dressed very appropriately. Right. So one of the Rebbe's went over, gave her a shawl to wear, etc. And after davening, the Rebbe started talking to her. She said, you know, she became interested in Judaism a little bit. She's Jewish. She's going to college at Oberlin College, which is about, I don't know, 60 miles away from Cleveland, something like that, 50, 60 miles away. And she started getting involved in something reform. And she went there. It's not what she was interested in. So they told her, like, you know, they should go to an Orthodox place. They asked, where is it? They sent her to here. It tells her she, right? Fine. So the Rebbe started with her. She was actually a special person. You know, they invited her to come back again for Shabbos. She started coming regularly for Shabbos to the yeshiva. Obviously, she came dressed appropriately. And she would go to the yeshiva, and she took her. The Rebbe took her into her gifter. Her gifter met her, and they arranged one or two of the color couples. You know, to get connected to her and take care of her, etc. And she came very close to the yeshiva. About 9 months later, she walks into the yeshiva. Must be 6 months later. Maybe a year. It's like six months later. She walks into the yeshiva. She has a dilemma. She says, "What's the dilemma?" She has a boyfriend. So yeshiva says, "I asked her, is he Jewish?" She said, "Yes." I says, "So what's the problem?" She says, "He's not frum, and I'm becoming frum." She says, "No, we'll make him frum." It's almost Purim. Bring the yeshiva for Purim. So the Rebbe says, and I said, "Ramatul, Purim." Are you going to bring him to the yeshiva for Purim? Like, you know, and the yeshiva says, "Anicha gazot," and I said, "Yeah, Purim." Right? So this is, they're telling me over the story. Is they're both playing their parts of the conversation. It was very, very sweet watching the whole thing. Right? So he came for Purim. So he comes to Purim. Now this is about, he's in college. He's seen people get drunk. He's seen what they do when they get drunk. Right? He comes and tells the yeshiva by the Purim Suda. It's almost everybody's drunk. You know, even if you're not drunk, there's so much alcohol in the air, you get drunk from the alcohol in the air, you know. Right? So what happens if people get drunk? they sit there and cry, and either they dance. I have a guy, I'm dancing, a guy passes by me and says, I'm a neshama, like that, you know, right? Or they sit there and cry that they want to learn Torah better, they want to become better, you know, better midas, they want to become bigger Talmud Chacham, and gave me a bracha. That's all you get. I remember, and my the whole time is another shiva, but one time I saw a guy get violent when he got drunk. And that guy actually eventually went off the derech.
Right.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing which comes out. So this fellow was blown away. That how when people become drunk, their real inner desire to become better people comes out. And that was his process. He started coming through. Okay.
Purim.
So here it is. It's Purim by the Chofetz Chaim. And this fellow goes to the Chofetz Chaim and says, I want, you know, he wants the Rebbe to promise him that he has a chelek olam haba. So Chofetz Chaim, you know, pushed him away. You're like, you know, you guy's drunk. You're just, you know, like, you know. And he didn't lose up. Finally, the Chofetz Chaim says to him, says the following. He says, I don't know whether I will have a chelek olam haba or not. But I will promise you the following. If you are makabel right now, that for the rest of your life you will never speak lashon hara, I will promise you that you will sit next to me in Gan Eden. So the whole place, silence. And the bacher sobers up. You know, I mean, this is like, you know, like, whoa, you know. And he stops and he's thinking, is he ready to make the commitment that the rest of his life will never speak lashon hara? And he says, I can't commit. The next part of the story is the Chofetz Chaim said, please take him away. I don't want to see him. He's a Russian. He just stood by the Shari Gan Eden and he refused it. That's the end of the mice. The Chofetz Chaim was, you know, what's the pshat? You know, we relate to the Bacher. I want to be honest. And I don't know. Can I do it? Right? I can't promise him I'm not going to do. I mean, I don't know. I relate to the Bacher.
Believe me.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. The answer is, from the Chofetz Chaim vantage point, right? We're not talking about something you believe in. It's something that he saw. He saw God, he saw Elam Haba. So Elam Haba was as real to him as the door. So I'm saying, you can walk in a door. I'm just if from that vantage point, you're an idiot. You're Russia. LMI once, you don't see the door, so we have a different problem. Right? But from the Chofetz Chaim's vantage point, like, how could anybody say no to this? Chofetz Chaim, you know, understood. Rabbi Chanan said that Chofetz Chaim is, you know, Talmud Mubut. He says, the Chofetz Chaim, he heard the Chofetz Chaim himself say that he has a Christ for the whole generation. Chofetz Chaim knew his role in Christ. He didn't think he deserved any Yeshikaya for it. Right? Because, like, you know, he used to give himself Musar, right? Chofetz Chaim used to give Musar. He has to have a Musar Seder. He had Musar every day, but once in a while he used to give himself Sharka Musar. He would go into a closed room and he would start giving himself Musar. So the tomato wanted to listen by the door what he was doing. See, he was playing, he was doing a play. And the play was how he's getting sick at the end of his life. People would come visiting him and he's going to die. He's going to come into the Bezen Shomala. He plays it out the two sides. He's playing the people. He's so, Mayor, how are you feeling? Oh, it's so hard. So hard. I'm not feeling so well. It's really so hard. I can't. He's so, Mayor, you know. He's so, Mayor, he didn't have Hera. Like, he plays out the whole thing. And the Bacher was listening outside the door. We'll punch it. They almost fainted. Because he started describing the din in the Shemayim. That was his Musar Seder. Okay, you know, that was how he used to give himself Musar. You know, he was real. So from that vantage point, the Ramban says, like Elam Haba is like right there, like what, it's the stupidest question. It turns into describe Elam Haba. It's like, you know, that's what I hear in the Ramban. Okay, Dasa Kuzri. They are revealed. See, the fish of Yom Mehem, Hoyukol Elam Machisha Mashkocha Hashem Yisbarach. I don't have time to pierce. I'm just like throwing out stories. Okay,
that's terrific.
There's a mice with the Yaakov. That Rabbi Yaakov used to give a shir in Torah Das, and it was this real dry shir. Like, we'd read the Gemara Shetosis, he would teach it, you know, just say a little bit, etc. And the Bochum really did not enjoy it so much. One day he comes into shir and he starts throwing soises and this, he was in Ricky Vegas and putting his shoes and lumps and back and forth, and they're like, wow, you know. And at the end of the shir, he says, you know, I didn't have time to prepare last night, so I just, you know, so so I apologize. You know, he apologizes, I don't have time to prepare. So they realize that they missed something. So the problem was that he, all the in the sivas, all the things which he thought in the Gantus, he all rolled it down. So just as he touched the words of the Gemara, he was giving you over to Tzitzis in the sivas. You just didn't realize. We had this with the Rishiva. Rishiva used to say a blot shir. And he would basically do the same thing. He would read Gemara, Rashi, Tzitzis, and touch it. Shir was twice a week for an hour and a half. And it was very challenging because, you know, he could read more Rishitosis and Taichit. He could go through an average of over a blot each year. So I mean, he's doing a pace of two to three blot a week. Now the problem was that he didn't say anything. And the Bachman were like, I'm getting really bored. But if you had learned the sukya well, you realize that there was challenges in the sukya, there was issues. And as he was touching it, he was giving an approach which would answer all the problems. But he didn't speak out the question or the answer. So unless you had worked it out every single the whole sugya with all of the challenges and all the problems and all of the possible ways to learn, and you realize what he was doing, the shir was worthless. But of course you had to do that at a pace of, you know, of three blot a week, you know, because he was flying. So I took it upon myself, like after one day, I'm sure I was already like older when he was doing this. We're learning zvachim together, and the shir was doing this. It was an awesome shir. And well, first, like, the Rashi didn't say anything today. She said, when he said, he mamashi framed the kasha that the twist, that's a Rashi. He mamashi had a mahalo, it was gorgeous. So, what? He told him about it. He didn't say anything. He said, no, he looked at me, ties like this, and framed the kasha. He's like, whoa, you know, I missed the whole shear. So, next time in shear, I said, you know what, I'm going to ask. So, Rashi typed something and says, you know, I asked you, maybe you could learn this. Like, you know, I gave the other option. She said, no, you can't because this. Now, so the guy's grabbed that there's a whole story behind that three word that he touched. Because I asked him like this. He said, no. Okay, so I figured if it didn't work one time, they'll try it again. Also, by the way, it was a big mile because he slowed him down a lot. Right. All right, so now we can be a chance to keep up with him, you know. So I said, great, you know, this is good. So next, you know, it did it again. Fine. Now, the machine there was nobody's fault. He hopped, you know, that, you know, besides that, I was trying to, you know, ask him around the question. I was also trying to slow him down, which he didn't like. So remember one time I asked the pshat, so, you know, maybe one of this, it says, Ellie, you can't. And I, you know, you can't. Like, you know, like, end the conversation. Like, stupid question, you know. Okay, fine. A little while later, he says, Ellie, what's pointers there? Ploitering is the Yiddish word for, like, prattling, you know, like, you know, just talking without any thought process. Okay.
One day, explain?
No. That was it. One day, you know, so he walks, you know, I asked him a kasha like that, you know, maybe like this, this, you know. And I didn't really believe it either. I just wanted to hear what, I wanted to speak out why he learned this way, you know. She says, Eli, chazede lens zvochem, was somebody lens babakam. You're learning zvochem, was somebody learn babakam. So I was close. B, I was mechutzit. So I said, "Is it a shlecht? Is that bad?" He says, "Yeah, it's a shlecht." I said, "Okay." 2 weeks later, remember, same thing happened this year. Eli, zay the lanced zvochem was over the lanced brachs. You're learning zvochem, same you're learning sefles brachs. I said, "Forget it. This is bad." But I stopped. When I stopped, I had a chaver. I have a chaver of Hashem. Because of health issues for one of his children, he had to leave Cleveland, and he went to New York, you know, because there was a specialist there for his kid. So he was learning in the mirror, and there was in New York, and there was a chabur learning zochim. So he was getting the cassette tapes of the shir. So I don't know, because I called him for something. He says, "Ellie, I'm getting the tapes of Ellie Rangel with her gift of talking in the middle." I said, "I'm talking too much in shir. I got to shut up." So that's when I controlled myself, instead of controlling myself a little more. But that's good. So, why am I telling you the story? Because it started with the Biyakov. Why am I telling the story of the Biyakov? Because, you know, it's like, well, you have to speak it out. It's just like, there's certain points of, like, you know, you're coming in with this musig of, like, it's like so obvious. But she was like, something like, what do you drain me a cup? Don't you see in the sugya, like, what do you drain me a cup? Like, Okay. And there you see the fish of Yom Mahem, are you call oil machisha mashkach sem yisburg. People do not believe in the Bresham intervening, the Bresham controlling. Yeah, there's a God. We tell him Shakola Nasa Burlam a Koba Hekrach Wilberotson. The Bresham set a system in place and he's stuck to it. There's nature, and nature is its own power, it's stuck, and that's the way it works. There's no way to control it. So the Russian said, the purpose of this over here is not Scar. The purpose over here is to explain to Klal Yisrael this concept that Russian runs the world. And that depends on what you're doing. So it's a totally different purpose. So he said like this, Hudas Rabbeinu Nisim Parsha Bereishis, Shalom Sefer Kuzari. Shekhzomer Kuzari El Achavar. So the Sefer Kuzari is a conversation between the Kuzari, was the name of the king, who was called the Kuzari, from the Kaisers, who was called the Kuzari, and the Chavar was the Talmud Chacham. Right? So the conversation started off that this king had a desire really to do the right thing for Hashem, and he wasn't sure what to do. So he kept getting this dream. He was having a bit of Zohar. He got a dream that your desire is great, but your actions are not acceptable. So he finally said, "You have to look into this." So he brought in. He said, "Jews garnished, the Jews are so small and they're so downtrodden, they can't have where the Emes is." So he brings in a notary, and they should present his religion. He asks him a question. Says, doesn't make any sense. Good. He brings in an imam, right? Same thing. He says, okay, maybe. He says, I see from the conversation, both of them said that the foundation of their religions is the Book of Moses by the Jews. So maybe I should not get to speak to the Jews. And that's the conversation now he has with the Chavar. That's what the Chavar says. So he says like this, he says to the Chavar, what the other religion are promising is much more geshmak than yours. Olam Haba is a little. They get Olam Haba. You get some apples. Some apples and some bread. Shiva Chaver Avahem Kulam Lachar Mavis Vein Bechayim Mehem Muuma Lo Yidaber Shiyoy Rechushalein. You can promise whatever you want after you die, because nobody's gonna come back and tell you you're right or you're wrong. Right. But I'm promising something over here. We can see if it's true. What I'm promising is real. Number one, okay. Amar Kuzri, v'lo reisi echad mehamiminim b'yehudim ha'hem misavim l'knoisa me'era. I don't see people running to get them so quickly. Right? They'd rather live. Im ha'yu b'yod l'achram elif shanim v'shu yishar b'schir v'zachayim v'ol ha'yam ha'hem v'roi b'tzvoi no'y ha'yu b'rachim b'zeh. If he could stay alive, healthy, and with, enjoying this world, he'd rather stay in this world. So apparently it's not so bad, this world. Haraya, those promises are not really motivating them so much. Right? Okay. So, we see the pressure made the nation. We want this. A human being has a desire to live. A desire to live in a way which is pleasant. This is a promise. It's not it's worth it. It's a very, very powerful promise that the Bresham is promising. So the Kuz really has two points. Now, number one, that this promise over here is something which we can test and see the Bresham is truly promising that there is reward and punishment for mitzvahs. What they're promising is worthless. It's not giving something which is not testable means that we have a heck of a day, so the whole thing is true. And number two, what the Bresham is promising is something which human beings want. Okay, so that's the point of the Kuz. And they did through their process of Avodah Zarah, they were able to get certain control over different things in the world, fertility, etc. It wasn't just foolishness. There was power there. So the person says, no Avodah Zarah. So what's going to be with the fertility? The person says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Right? Don't think you're going to lose by keeping the Torah. It's not what you're gaining. You're not losing, because they had some power through their avodah zarah and kisha, whatever it was, to have some control and maintain a certain needs of life. The Torah's not going to make you lose that. There she is. The person is saying, I'm going to be with you in this world. There's going to be a divine presence which a human being will be able to connect to even as he's, when he's physical. The person promising that we're going to have a way to connect to Ruchnius while we're still Gashmi. Even the Neshama is Tavkim HaKarmer, when the Neshama is bound into Chaymer. So Kalvachomer, when we die, and we don't have the body in the way, it's going to be a chibur. And we're going to get that chibur. The fake religions, what they're promising in the world to come, we get here. We get here. We had Nevuah. What was Nevuah? Nevuah was that in the Shema spoke directly to Hashem. So that's a direct chibur between a human being and his creator in this world. Because I'll say there was Kiflam Geretz Mitzrayim. So there was 1.2 million Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael. Mark Megillah. So Rama says that the majority of the purpose of Nevuah was not to predict the future. It was to give them clarity and understanding different elements of the Torah that they didn't understand. That was the majority of it. The Ramban says the purpose of the Nevuah, or one of the purposes of the Nevuah, was that the person would go to the Navi, and the Navi would look at him and understand his neshama and tell him exactly what his purpose in life is. Right? So, the person grapples, like, what does Moshe make me for? What should I do with my life? He says, you should be a first grade rabbi. Right? You should do business. Right? So now I have no sekus. The Navi told me. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Right? It'd be such a wonderful thing. And we sit there with always like guilt feelings. Maybe I should have done something different in my life. I know. The Navi told me. There's a maestro once with somebody that the Chazan Ish told him he should be a first grade rabbi. So somebody, like, years later, chaplain, like, did you have Chorot? He said, Chorot. The Chazan Ish told me I should be a first grade rabbi. Like, I have no suffix. The Chazan Ish told me I should be a first grade rabbi. I'm supposed to be a first grade rabbi. That's what Rashi wanted. The Chazan Ish, I trust, he told me I should be a first grade rabbi. That's it. Nothing to talk about. That's my purpose in life. Right? But the Ikar Rama says the Ikar purpose on the Nevuah was that the human being would be able to connect his creator and get understanding of the ruchniyus of the world, of the kedusha of the world, of the very earth. That was the purpose, and we got it in this world. So they're promising Olam Haba, which we get Olam Haza. Kavacham, we get Olam Haba. This is the approach of the Rebbeinu Nissim in his drushas around. Okay. Okay. And that's and then he proves they says one more pshat. He says, they are shvius. It's called Yudim and these current Torah. Hey, Chol Yisrael Uma Ki Olam Nidan Acharubay Yirak Shalom and Tvua Vashalom Keretz Vehem Yod Chol Yisrael Kecha. These are promises for Klal Yisrael as a nation. Aba Schar Hanavshi Lam Haba Enu the Chol Yisrael Uma El Chol Yisrael Bishvat Neatzim and Nidan Shalom Api Maisa. That's personal. Okay. So these psukim are not talking about Olam Haba. It's talking about how the person is going to interact with Klal Yisrael when Klal Yisrael is acting properly. It's all talking about. It's not promising any reward. The reward for you, what you did, that's Olam Haba. That's a personal thing. Where the Torah doesn't speak that directly. Over here, it's discussing how the person interface with Klal Yisrael when Klal Yisrael is doing the right thing. That's all it's talking about. So that's for the nation. Which was all darshan and says v'arachta yamim, when v'arachta yamim, and how long was the richas yamim mean? Right? Man yitavach v'arachta yamim. The Morse says man yitavach the yom shekula toiv, and v'arachta yamim the yom shekula aruch. So in those two places, by kibbut avayim and by shiluch ken, it says these promise of richas yamim and toiv. It's referring to Olam Haba. That's where the Torah is meramis. It's ikrim. That's Ramban in the pasuk called Avavchem, and we say in the second parak of Vayim Shemaya, the Ramban over there. So she says, for Beshiva Drachim Elo Yenusu Adervus Osek Al Tereseh Al Kadosha. So he's using the homiletical language of the psukim to show his point. The point is that I always want to go back to our original question. So the original question was, William said the question was, if the Bereshit is using this as a vehicle to describe his interest and concern and care and love for Klal Yisrael, and he could do it, quote unquote, in a better way, I was talking about Olam Haba, so then he's really skipping on expressing his love. Right? So the answers, some of the answers are that B'chal, they're not talking about the Skar B'chal, it's not discussing the B'chal. But if it's someone's Skar, like so much of the Drush is Iran's point. The Russian is saying, I'm promising you, I love you so much, I'm going to find a way to connect you even on Ruchni in this world. That's how much that's what I'm promising you. The Ron's saying, of course I'm going to get Olam Haba. Right? It's so obvious. They don't need to point it out. What I am promising you is that there's going to be an impact even in this world. That's Hakapela. You know. The Rabban Shita Bechlal is that Nevuah, you know, the Rabban, there's a famous Shaka text in the Rabban and Ibn Ezra about Yocheved. Rashi brings that Yocheved was born by Ben Achimus, right? So, so she gives birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. How old was she? So Moshe Rabbeinu leaves Mitzrayim. He was 80 years old. Right? So she gave birth to him. They were there for 210 years. So she gave birth to him 130 years after they went out to Mitzrayim. Well, if according to Chazal, she was born Ben Chaimus, as they entered, she was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Which is much older than Sarah, was only 90. Sarah Ben Ezra says that the Medrash can't be correct. If the Torah made such a big to-do about the fact that Sarah was 90 years old and gave birth, so she was 40 years older, for sure, it said the Medrash can't be right. So Ramban says that the purpose of the Torah is not to say Nisim. The purpose of the Torah is to show that when a Novi comes and says something's going to happen, and then the Nevuah happens, and it's Emes, that's what the Torah will tell me. So beforehand, the Russian tells Abram there's going to be such a thing that's going to happen, and it happens. There was no Nevuah which foretold beforehand that Yocheved is going to give birth, which is 130 years old. No, there's no Nevuah about that. The Torah is not a storybook of all of the miracles which happened to Klal Yisrael. That's not the point of the Torah. The point of the Torah is to give over a lesson of the Russians of the hurrah of what to do, and part of that is the process of the concept of Nevuah. So it's something which is going to be an expression of the concept of Nevuah, the Torah will talk about. But some make a list of all the miracles, there's plenty of miracles the Torah doesn't talk about. That's what the Ramban says. So the Ramban saying over here that the Torah should tell me Olam Haba is wonderful. To tell me that the Baruch is promising that he's been miyayid and it will happen, that there's going to, the world's going to function based on what on how you do something, and that's part of the Nevuah that we're told beforehand. If you do good, you get X. You do bad, you get Y. Well, that's important to tell me. Right? So, but that's the message to Klal Yisrael. So the message to Klal Yisrael, but the part that, you know, that you get in Olam Haba, the Ramban is like, right? So the thought process is fascinating to me. Just, I think part of our challenge, the Ramban out of all of them, just the strength of the message of that we don't relate to Olam Haba right. We don't. It's an amuna. It's very. It shouldn't be an amuna. It should be a reality. If we relate to our neshamas as real, and we went out and find ourselves as a goof, so then like the Ramban says, like the next step is like, you know, like this is what it's all about. Like, yeah. Like, you know, it's illogical. Terrence says, we don't relate to ourselves as neshamas. Now, that's the book from Purim. He came by and said, I'm a neshama, you know, like a Purim, he got it, you know. I mean, it has to be true. It has to be that's our challenge, you know. Like, how do we describe, how do we explain, like, you know, we spend, even when we do Torah mitzvahs, like, Chabas Chaim's Moshul, right, about the fellow was sent to this distant island. The father sent him away to this island to gather the diamonds. Right? So he gets there, like, you know, diamonds all over the place. So, says, diamonds. Well, you can't eat diamonds. You can't eat diamonds. There's only place in this place. He says, potatoes. Potatoes. So the guy, you know, packs up potatoes and potatoes and potatoes. Because about this father, it's all potatoes. So I sent you for diamonds, but the potatoes, you know. So Rosh Hashanah sends the neshama to this world to come back with diamonds. We spend our life gathering potatoes.
Because they're everywhere.
Right? You know, that's our, we don't relate to this world normal. I mean, you know, we look at the world. There's a world. There's a world of potatoes. So we got a cash. You sell them habits, something you believe in. Right? If we would understand the word neshamas and not goofs, so like, potatoes wouldn't be exciting. The Mishnah Sharma says in the Parak, part of Parak Aleph, he says that the neshama doesn't like this world. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't find it exciting. Like whatever you offer it, you know, you offer salami to the princess. It just doesn't excite her. You know, she's used to major delicacies. What excites that this world is a place where you can do something which will help the neshama. That excites the neshama. Right? And then I don't know, she likes the world because it's the only place she can do it. You know, we spoke about the deal that, you know, this you only can do it here. You can't do it in Olam Haba. This is it. You know. Okay.